Tonight we're going to talk about how we serve God and why. You know, as Christians we hear a lot about serving God. You need to serve God, you need to serve God, you need to serve God. A lot of times there is a question of, well, what is serving God? What does it mean to serve God? How do we do it? And why should I even serve God? Well, we see that in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. We'll go ahead and read that. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In these verses, we have 2 points to this message. So there's no 3 points, 4 points, 5 points, 6 points. So it should be quick, right? My wife always laughs when I say that. Because you know, if a preacher says it's going to be short, it ends up being long, doesn't it? But I'll try not to do that tonight. But we have 2 points. Simply, how do we serve God? And why do we do it? So let's look at the first one here. Before we do that, we'll go ahead and open in prayer and ask God to bless this time and bless the preaching of His Word. And let's all ask Him that He'll show us if we are serving God and help us to serve Him more. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank You for the day that You've given us. Lord, I thank You for Your goodness to us. Lord, help us to understand exactly what You have for us. Help us to serve You. Help us to understand what service to You is, Lord, and help us to do it, and to do it according to Your will. Lord, I thank You for what You're going to do. In Your name I pray. Amen. All right, first off here, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The first way we serve God is simply by being a living sacrifice. Pretty simple, isn't it? Sounds simple enough. It really isn't all that simple, is it? If you think about it, what is a sacrifice? What is a sacrifice? You can talk to me, I don't mind. What's that? Something that is killed. Something that is offered, right? Now, a sacrifice, isn't a sacrifice usually taken back? No, it's not. It's something that's given and not received back. I was in Marystown Wednesday night, and I asked that question. A little boy, well, I guess he wasn't little, he was a young teenager, probably a preteen. He gave the best definition for a sacrifice. Giving something away for something that is better. I thought, wow, I didn't even think of that one. But isn't that what a sacrifice to God is? Giving something away for something that is better. What we're to give away here is not a dead lamb like they did in the Old Testament, where it was slain, the blood was shed. The living sacrifice we're to give is us. That's simply what serving God is giving ourselves to Him. You know, it's not a one-time thing, because, you know, the problem with being a living sacrifice is that sacrifice likes to get up. We like to take ourselves from the altar of sacrifice. We say, well, you know, I know God wants me to do this, but I'd rather do this today. But the living sacrifice, we gotta keep putting it on there and saying, Lord, I'll do what You want me to do today. And a sacrifice is partially given. We can't say, well, Lord, I'll give this part of my life to You. I'll give a little bit of time to You. I'll give a little bit of money to You, but I'm going to keep this part of my life. No, a sacrifice is completely given. No, we are to give everything of ourselves to God. Say, God, here it is. Here's my sacrifice. It's a living sacrifice. Another thing about a living sacrifice, as it continues on, a dead sacrifice was just once, wasn't it? Couldn't give it again because it was done. But with the living sacrifice, we can keep giving it. So no matter how old we get, no matter how many years we've been serving God, we're still living, so we still need to be a sacrifice to God. That sacrifice needs to be continual. Needs to always be, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Now, God doesn't call everybody into missions. We should all be willing to go to missions. I've heard it said, everyone needs to plan to go, but be willing to stay. You know, no matter what God wants us to do, no matter how hard it is, we should be willing to give it. According to this, this is what service is. This is what is commanded of us. We are commanded to serve Him. Another part of serving God is not just being a living sacrifice, but it's a holy sacrifice. It says, verse 1, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Now, what is holy? It's without sin, isn't it? Who is the definition of holiness? God. We read that God says, be holy for I am holy. You know, our holiness should be equal with God. Can we do that? Can we live without sin? No, we can't do that, can we? It's impossible for us. So how in the world are we holy? This is speaking of having a right relationship with God. Keeping short account of our sin. At salvation, God sees us as holy. God sees us as righteous. Because it's Christ's righteousness put in our place. So before God, we stand righteous. But we don't always act that way, do we? I can say that of myself. So I don't always act holy. I don't always act righteous. I don't always act saintly. But you know, we shouldn't be in a life of being unholy. We should keep short account. What does 1 John 1:9 say? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, when we sin, we have the Holy Spirit that tells us that we've done wrong, don't we? But how many times do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Say, oh, not now. This is too much fun. It's too much fun. I'll keep doing it. I'll do what's right later. As a teenager, I got the idea, well, I'm going to do what I want to. I'm going to do it for a while, then I'll get right with God and everything will be okay. Now, is that the attitude to have? You know, a lot of times we don't come out and say that to God and say, God, I'm going to do what I want to for a while, then I'll come back to you. But we act that way, don't we? We decide to do our own thing. But that's not service to God. That's not being a sacrifice. It's not being a holy sacrifice. We cannot serve God if there's sin in our life. Just as God wanted a perfect lamb for a sacrifice, He wants us to serve Him as a holy sacrifice, a holy living sacrifice to God. And we can do that through Christ. And we can do that through prayer life with Him, through reading His Word, and getting those things right in our life on a daily basis. At the moment where we mess up, there's times where we mess up and we think, ooh, whoops. Yeah. But we can get it right. When the Holy Spirit convicts us of it, we can get it right. And we can be holy in God's eyes. We are holy in God's eyes, but we don't always act it. We're not holy in front of other people's eyes a lot, are we? Because who usually holds their sin against us? Other people do, don't they? A lot of times, we do too. Satan holds it against us. He goes before God. We see that in Job. Goes before God and says, hey, look what so-and-so's done. He's supposed to be your child. Look what he's done. But what does Christ do for us? He stands as our advocate. Says, yep, but he's bought. He's paid for. We still need to live holy, don't we? Let's look at, continue on here. Our sacrifice needs to be living, it needs to be holy, and it needs to be acceptable unto God. Verse 2, we kind of learn more about what the acceptable is. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's acceptable is that we're not conformed to this world. Now that's a part of holiness. We're not to be conformed to this world. What does it mean to be conformed? My girls love to play with Play-Doh. And I like to play with Play-Doh too. I just have an excuse now that I have little girls I can play with Play-Doh and nobody thinks it's odd. But, you know, they have these wonderful molds, don't they? You take that Play-Doh and you put it into that mold. You press it in. Make sure it goes into all those cracks and crevices. And you pull it out and what does it look like? Looks like the mold, doesn't it? And that's what it means to be conformed. That Play-Doh is conforming to that mold. But here, we're told not to conform to this world. You know what we do as Christians? We're pretty conformed to the world. We act like the world. We look like the world. We're not supposed to. We get as close to the world as we can. We can get as close to it as we can. And soon we're looking a lot like it, aren't we? We do the same things that the world does. We listen to the same thing the world does. We watch the same television that the world does. And soon we start looking like the world, don't we? That's not acceptable to God, is it? Verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Before we're saved, you know, we're going to look like the world because we're all the world. We're sinners. We're part of the world. But we're supposed to be transformed. We're not supposed to look like this world. It's funny, every time I read this part here, I think of Transformers, the cartoon. When I was growing up, it was a cartoon. It wasn't a movie. But I remember watching that. What was the saying? Transformers, more than meets the eye. You know, it looks like one thing, but it changes to look like something else. You know, we're supposed to be transformer. We're supposed to transform from what the world looks like to what who looks like? Christ. We are to be more like Christ. You know, it's not suddenly, at the moment of salvation, we're not suddenly like, wow, that guy's a Christian. You know, he acts like a Christian. But it's a slow change, isn't it? And more, we're to look like Christ. More and more, we're supposed to act like Christ. We're to be transformed. How does this transformation come about? It says, by the renewing of your mind. Philippians 2, 5 through 9 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Our mind is to be like Christ. From being selfish like the world to being selfless like Christ. Christ left heaven, where he was glorified and praised on a daily basis. Every moment he was being praised and worshipped. To come to this earth, he humbled himself born in a barn, laid in a manger, mocked, ridiculed his whole life, died on the cruel cross for us. For us. I know I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve him coming, him dying for me, but he did it. He did it for us, to help us, so that we could have eternal life. You know, our mindset should not be on us. What can I get? What can I do for myself? But it should be of service. Humbling ourselves, saying, God, I'm your servant. I want to help win this one person to Christ. I want to win this one person to you. Our eyes should not be on ourselves, but on God and His servant and His service to help those around us in need of a Savior. That's what service is. It's as simple as being a living sacrifice. Doing what He wants you to do, no matter how little or how big, but willing to do it. Willing to go where He wants you to go, do what He wants you to do, to be a holy sacrifice, living a life to God without sin, being transformed, not looking like this world, but being like Christ, having a mind of service. Are we serving God like we should? Are we doing it day by day? Winning the loss that He wants, witnessing the loss that He wants us to witness to? Living a holy life, separated unto God? It's not that difficult of a thing to do if you think about it. It is, but it isn't. It is because naturally we're selfish. It isn't because God provides for it. God helps us. What God calls for, He provides for. Why should we even give of what we want to do what God wants us to do? We see this in verse 1, the last part there. It says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why do we get to serve God? Simply because it's reasonable. It's logical to serve God. It just makes sense. I have three here. Three reasonable reasons to serve God. I know there's many more, but we'll just hit these for tonight. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, why do we serve God? Because we are not our own. We do not own ourselves. Gene. I think he's just... Hey, Gene. Surprise you there. Can I borrow your car tonight?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I figured he'd say he'd let me. And he didn't even ask me what I needed to do. He's thinking about it now. So I borrowed Gene's car, that nice little, is it a Focus? Nice little Ford Focus out there. I have a tractor trailer that I need to take all my stuff from Georgia up to Stephenville. So I'm going to borrow his car, I'm going to hook it up to that big tractor trailer truck. And to get it hooked up, though, I kind of have to open a hole in his roof there to hook everything in, tie it down. So I take off from Georgia. I floor it, and what's going to happen to that car? It's not going to go anywhere, is it? The little tires are probably going to melt off. And soon the The motor's going to blow, isn't it? If I keep it floored, nothing's going to happen. Now, Gene, would you be very happy with me? Honestly, would you be happy with me?
Probably not.
Now, if I did that with any of your cars, you would probably be upset as well, wouldn't you? No. Why would that not make any sense to do? Because that's not what the focus is made for, is it? It's not what it's designed for. It wouldn't be right of me to do that with Gene's car. Now, if I wanted to do something as insane as that with my own vehicle, you know, no big deal, right? I've paid for it. I own it. I can do what I want to with it. But you know, our bodies are not our own. We don't own us. We are bought with a price. You know, that focus probably didn't come very cheap, did it? No. He paid a pretty good price for it. But think about the price that Christ paid for us. We are bought. We are not our own. You know, the same way as that Ford Focus is not designed to pull a tractor trailer, our bodies were not designed for sin. Our bodies were not designed for sin. They were designed to glorify God. And when we sin, we are destroying this body. We're destroying the body that God owns because Christ paid for it. And you can imagine how upset Gene would be if I brought back his car on the back of a trailer or back of a tow truck and said, "Well, here you go, Gene. Have your car back." Imagine God's response when we sin with what He owns and we destroy what He owns because we simply just feel like it. Just because we want to. Doesn't make sense, does it? We are designed for service for God and not ourselves. It's reasonable to serve God because we do not own ourselves. God owns us. We need to serve Him with what He owns. Same way that Gene takes good care of his car, keeps it clean, he keeps it the tires on it new, changes the oil. God takes care of us, doesn't He? He provides for us. So with that, we need to do what our bodies are designed to do and to serve God. It's just reasonable. It only makes sense. Another reason to serve God is because He provides for it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." You know, God's called us to live a life of service. What He's called us to do, He'll provide for it. He'll help us to live a holy life. He'll help us to live a life of service to Him. You know, what God orders, He pays for. And He'll provide for us for His service. We just need to serve Him. Another reason is it's profitable. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." What a great promise. When we serve God, God has promised that we'll reap what we sow. But he's also promised if we do what's wrong, if we sin, we'll also reap what we sow. So he goes to show that it's profitable to serve God, isn't it? Because we sow good things, we'll reap good things. And God will bless us. It's a promise. Also think of Matthew chapter 25. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. And I'll just give you the story real quick. That way you know where it is. Matthew 25. In verse, the parable starts in verse 14. As the parable of the stewards. One was given five by the master. The servant was given five talents by the master. The other was given two talents by the master. And one was only given one talent. Now the one with five, he gained five more after the master left. The one with two gained two more. And the one with one did nothing with his talent. He didn't gain anything back with it. He just hid it away, didn't use it. And when the master came back, he gave back the one talent that the master had given. Now let's look at the response of the master. In verse 21, this is the one that brought five. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And he also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. We'll jump down to verse 23. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And then verse 26, this is the servant that did nothing. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strewed. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For everyone that hath shall be given, and he that have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. You know, when we serve God with what God's given us, God blesses. And he says, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. How many of you, when you were growing up, when you did something that your parents told you to do, you did it, and you came back and said, Mom, Dad, I finished it. And your mom or dad bent down and said, Good job, son. Good job, daughter. I'm proud of you. How encouraging was that? How much did you enjoy that as a little child? How much are we going to enjoy it? When Christ says to us, when we've served him as he's commanded us to do, he says, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, no matter how much God gives us to do, as long as we do something for him, God is pleased with it. No matter how big, no matter how great in our eyes it may be, or how small, God is pleased when we serve him with what he's given us. If we don't serve him, how sad. How sad it will be when God just says, Well, you didn't do anything for me. Go on your way. How happy it will be when God says, when we've served him, Well done. Good job. I'm proud of you. How encouraging. You know, we don't have to wait to heaven to hear that either. We know when we serve God, we can see it in his word, how proud he is of us when we do what he's asked us to do. It only makes sense to serve God it's reasonable because we're not our own. Because God provides for service and it's profitable. Great blessings. Great blessings for serving Him. But it's also His will that we serve God. We serve God simply because it is His will for us to serve Him. Back in Romans chapter 12, and we'll be done. Romans 12:2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It is God's will that we serve Him. We've seen how to serve Him. We've seen that it's reasonable, but it's also His will. You know, as young kids, we always hear about, you know, you got to do God's will, you got to do God's will, you got to do God's will. Well, here's God's will. Simply that we serve Him. We give our life to Him to do whatever He wants us to do. And that's God's will. Whether it be stay here in Mount Pearl and be a godly layman in the church, serving God wherever, or whether it's going across the ocean and serving God as a missionary. But it's the willingness that God is looking for. Be willing to go where God wants you to go. Or stay where God wants you to stay. That's what service is. Are we serving God? Are we in God's will by serving Him? Living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God. It's our reasonable service, and it's His will. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the day that You've given us. Lord, I pray that You help us to honor and glorify You. Lord, I pray that